Hello and welcome back to Barbells and Banter. It is basically Jason with more head on my hair and less hair on my beard, but it was just Ben and I today for the podcast. We went through a whole bunch of Q&A questions. Of course, the general banter of like recapping the week, Ben's got a boys' weekend coming up, and a little bit of a check-in on my prep. But yes, thank you to everybody that submitted some Q&As. We'll keep them coming consistently because the questions have been really good quality. So things like, when do I go into a bulk? Do I have to be like a certain body fat percentage? How to be more confident in the gym? Am I strong enough to even start powerlifting? And a few others as well. While you're here, don't forget to click subscribe. Anyone that shares and tags us on socials is always appreciated, but please, please, please hit subscribe. It means so much to us. And yeah, enjoy the episode.
If we go over time, can you make sure you set the timer, please? Thank you.
Jess is here. The yapper is in the house.
May need to do audio balance check, but I think we're okay. I feel like Jess is louder than me, that's all.
Well,
no surprises.
Yeah, I'm like, Tam's like, wait a sec, let me just mute her.
Yeah. If you can't hear Jess, that was Tam.
The whole podcast is just like of you. Tam just like doesn't turn my camera on.
Yeah, it's just me like talking to a random blank screen. I think we're good. Sweet. We're rolling. It's happening.
Amazing.
Hello, Jess.
Hello.
Big dog chair. How do
Big
you feel?
Big dog chair. Good.
Do I feel massive?
I feel large. I got like, didn't shave, so, you know, beard. Beard so I can look like Jason. Made sure I was massive today.
Delta close.
What? Oh, stop it. No, I was, when did I see, Jace was training at my gym randomly on the public holiday last week.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't, like, I was like, what are you doing here?
You don't belong here.
I see this like man in a basketball jersey waving his arms at me in the gym. And I was like, oh, you're a good one. His arms are looking so much leaner.
Yeah, he looks good.
Looking leaner.
Looks good.
Miss you, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to see him later. It'll be good.
That's
but
nice.
No pod today. No pod today.
No pod today. You guys are stuck listening to me. Yep.
Yeah, it's our first one. One. It's the first one you've done. Because you went with Jace, I think, when I was away.
True.
But you and I haven't done one solo.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this for you.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Love it.
Don't put the pressure on
love
me.
Love it
like
for
that.
Me because I'll just be like, go, Jess. Get him. Get him, Jess.
You want to talk? Free reign for people to be full. Because I find myself like sitting back so much in like some of the podcasts where it's like, hasn't been a podcast just the three of us for a while because like yeah. It was, yeah. It's been like Loz and I think another, I don't know, but I just find myself sitting back a little bit, which is very rare for me.
It's very unlike Jess, guys. It's very.
I can be respectful of other people wanting to also have their piece. So I was like on the drive in today, I was like, okay, you've got two things. One, let people finish their sentences before you start talking on the podcast. Two, don't say yes or to agree while you're still speaking because that's one thing that I do.
It's so hard.
I'm like, yep, yep. I'm like, no, you don't have to agree. Just let him finish. So you're going to ruin the soundbite.
Yeah, you're going to ruin the clip. Yeah, it's so hard though.
Yeah, but
I find now like speaking to people in the real world, I actually find it really challenging because I'm used to my long form conversations like the person waits. And it's very in-depth and there's no phone and like, and then if I speak to someone and they're just like, you're halfway through a sentence and they ask a question or something, I'm like,
I didn't finish a script.
That's not how conversations work. It really breaks my brain now.
No, I think because I don't do this as often and like my brain at the best of times, I'm having four conversations at once. So for this, it was like, okay, make sure you write out the topics. Make sure you answer the question that the people have asked.
Yeah, you reading me the questions before we started is the most prep we've done pre-podcasts in a really long time.
Oh.
Yeah. We just, you've got questions, I've got questions. We'll just.
Live we'll answer just, them on the yeah. pod. Yeah.
Live react.
Yeah. Well, I know that this is a bodybuilding podcast, Jason, and I have vowed that I would not only answer powerlifting based questions, even though that was like a couple that I got.
I got a powerlifting one too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jason. Should have just worn our soft suits. Over.
Yeah, we should have just worn them, the whole thing.
Eek.
Because that's what YouTube wants. The least flattering outfit for any gender, regardless of body composition.
With the knee-high deadlift socks as well.
Yeah.
Chuck some elbow sleeves in for some good.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Oh, but no, I was like, I can't disappoint Dad. If I'm sitting in his seat.
We have to also talk about bodybuilding. I'm the bodybuilder so now. Just, it's fine.
I'll just do this the whole time. Just to make sure I don't disappoint just Jason.
Lift the chest up a little bit. Yeah.
Tam, that's the cut.
There's the cover photo.
But how are you? How was training this week?
Really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm in a good zone at the moment. I'm enjoying it. I'm like excited to progress like 8 reps. It's very strange. Even one of my exercises, my lat pull downs are sets of 15. And I like went up a whole plate and I was like, this is fucking sick. It's so strange to me to be like, I'm excited about 15 reps.
Going up an entire weight or dumbbell or something for 15 reps is a feat.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
Although, is a lot.
To be fair, I've probably gone up maybe 5 because when I started, it was just like 15 reps.
So unconditioned.
Are you sure? We haven't done this for 6 years. Stop that.
Yeah. Your body's like, sir, check engine lights on, but yeah, what are we doing?
Please stop that. Yeah. No, it's going well. Let things go a little bit on the diet for a bit. But I dropped 800 grams this week. And now I'm
amazing.
Going on a boys trip all weekend to put it all back on. Maybe more. But
I was gonna say which way is the boys trip going? The not eating or the extra eating?
Well, yeah. Definitely we're doing a whiskey tour, so that
only goes
one direction afterwards.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
What where are you going?
I don't know.
Oh.
So
awesome. Good chat.
Our friend is staying with Amy over the weekend just to help out and to visit. And she's like, so what are you doing for the weekend? I'm like, oh, we're going to the footy tonight. She's like, oh, cool. Who's playing? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, but you're going. I'm like, yeah. It's a ticket.
There's the beers.
Yeah. I know the apartment is in Albert Park because I've got a drive there. And I've got the address and that's it. Just showing up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just here for the vibes, Jess.
You are bringing the vibe. That's really nice, not having to carry the mental load of organizing.
Yeah.
Either. You just show up and have a good time.
Shout out to my mate. He's the only one of us that doesn't have kids. You can tell.
If he organized
everything. Got shit sorted.
Yeah, I don't have that in me to let other people do that naturally. Yeah. I'm the one that organizes our trips too.
Yeah.
But like, yes. Shout out to Amy. Took the baton from
took
her.
Took the mantle.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't have it in me. I think it would take somebody that I really loved. My hands are clammy thinking.
Stressed.
It would take someone I really, truly like loved and trusted like to take me somewhere and me not know what's happening.
Yeah. I know what's happening. I just don't know where the venues are.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Then how do you know? So, okay. So I organize for people that don't know, like I will like organize our interstate trips and like organize the car, the venue food. Where we stay, accommodation, everywhere. Food, whatever. And I give the guys a like itinerary that says it is 24 kilometers away, approximately 28 minute drive at this time of day. Like that is a level of detail I require to be able to go and do something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that just stresses me out, but I love that for you.
The boys are going to be they're about 3 and there's a car park about a block away. That's it.
Love.
And then I'll be home on Sunday.
Vibe. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And then next week, diet starts again on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Start again. Sunday lunchtime. Maybe. Depends how hungover I am. Might do the hangover excuse.
Love that.
Yeah. I haven't had a CD Sunday in a really long time.
I've been in prep since December.
Yeah. See, I reckon it's even longer than that for me too.
I haven't had... I went out for my birthday.
It was Penrith. The liftoff.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the last time I had a...
Yeah.
I need some McDonald's.
Yeah, that was not a fun, okay. That was a fun time. I actually, like, this came up in conversation not long ago. I was like, I actually can't remember the last time I got drunk. And I was like, nope, I remember it was Sydney.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I haven't had, like, a big night out. Like, I'm not much of a drinker. Like, I love a good red wine or a Negroni. I know that you're not. I'm in Jason's seat, of course. I'm going to talk about a Negroni.
I'm going to challenge that you like red wine. You might enjoy it. I don't think your body likes it very much.
Okay, not when you finish the night drinking. Not when you only drink a bottle of red at the end of a night out after drinking.
It's not a good option.
Wasn't for your shoes that I vomited on.
They were fine. They're perfect. They're perfect. They're they came great. Out fine.
They're great. Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing. I wanted to die. next night out.
We're
no
survived.
Red wine.
We're still friends. It's
we're
okay.
still friends. We're still here. But that's great.
How's prep?
It's going good. I just like mentioned to you before, I like have a little niggle in my lower back, which has never happened to me before. I did like this old person thing where I stretched in the morning, and as I stretched, I twisted and my trap like cramped, and I was like, oh God, like 30, I'm knocking at the door.
This is how I go.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then I had RDLs later that night and I was like hyper aware of it. I just think I like compensated by like twisting slightly, and I've, you know, jarred my lower back a little bit. Yeah. Going to the osteo tonight to see what we can do. But I could like touch my toes before, so that's a slay. That's 2 steps away from lifting up 135 kilos.
If you can touch your toes, you can take enough. This is not advice.
This is not medical advice.
No, this is not medical advice. You can take enough Voltaren to deadlift, you'll be fine.
Yeah, 100%. So today I'll probably get a whole bunch of Voltaren and I'll squat today. Less pressure than a deadlift.
Yeah.
So I'll squat, see how it feels. And if the squats are not great, then I will just go and leg press then
goblet squat and go home.
Yeah.
Sometimes the movement helps. If it's just a spasmy kind of deal.
Yeah. I'm going to do it regardless today. And this is advice I would give my clients. Like if you go to the gym, I just know I'm going to walk on the treadmill a little bit beforehand. I'm going to warm it up because I'm sitting on my ass. You know, I live an hour away from Point Cook. So it was an hour drive. I'll be training out in Clyde. So that's like an hour and a half to drive out from here. I'll walk, roll around on the floor, move into different planes of motion. Probably do a anterior loaded squat, see how I go. If that feels okay, chuck a bar on my back, add some load. If it doesn't, then I'll stop, I'll call it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like if it's a sharp pain, you stop, but if it's just an awareness, you keep going.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'll be at it today and not really care what weight's on the bar, just more the showing up.
Yeah. I know Ali and Laura are always like, if it's over a 3 or 4, out of 10, maybe don't do the thing.
Yeah.
It's under that. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
But, I mean, aside from that, it's the comp block started and I've got sets of 3 for things. So, what was it? Bench was 70 kilos for sets of 3. And it was like, I actually listened to my reps in reserve. So, it actually looked good. I'm
really proud of you.
Thank you so much. Squats were 100. Deadlifts were 130.
Nice. Yeah.
So
we're on.
Yeah. Everything's kind of just.
How's body weight?
61. So.
Easy.
Yeah. So we're planning on going just a little bit lower than weights up today. I'm on like day 28 of my cycle. I was like, doesn't matter. couple kilos to clear it, but everything's tracking. Like I saw someone I hadn't seen in the gym for a while on the public holiday. And he used to always train at the same time as me. And he's like, moved gyms. Came over and saw me. He's like, bro, you look so fucking big now. But why are you so small? And I was like, thanks.
Small life.
Small. Yeah. Can't wait to get fucking huge.
It's hilarious that like you posted the comparison of like the running and stuff.
Yeah.
And now. And like you had a small waist then. It's ridiculous.
It's so interesting to me. And this is like, maybe we can impromptu open with this. It is the Fit Podcast
Segway.
After all. Boom.
Nailed it. I've been doing this a while.
Yeah. I think that So last year, well, literally up until January, I have had multiple goals going at once. But it's never been a focus to me, not in like 5-6 years that I've had a good relationship with food and training. I've never exclusively focused on the way I look in my training. It's always been performance focused, and body is a reflection of my goals. So when we were doing bench, deadlift, running, I was like, oh my God, like my lats are growing, my glutes are growing, my legs are growing, all of this. And I'm like fit and whatever, but like I couldn't believe that, and you know, hybrid, but like couldn't believe that my body was changing so much. Yeah, hashtag hybrid athlete. I couldn't believe that my body was changing so much. I am like, I don't know if it's just like the, there's a word, contrarian in me, that now that everyone is running and lifting at the same time, I'm so far on the other end that it's like, well, actually, I'm just hitting my 10,000 steps a day and I just want to get strong as fuck and my body looks even better. So the contrarian in me is like on the other end now. But
I did it first.
I couldn't believe, like, you know, it was an easy, it was an easy decision for us, like to put me in the under 60s, sitting at 61 kilos for forever. I could not believe, like, I have actually stacked on muscle in the last 5 months.
It's insane. Yeah.
It's actually fucking cooked for someone. Shouldn't happen. Well, and I'm like, why is this happening? Like my, yeah, my glutes grew 3 centimeters.
Yep.
And I do not naturally have a fat ass, people. I fucking do not naturally have a fat ass.
Jess's first consult form. I am built like a rectangle. And yeah. I would like to not look like a rectangle anymore.
Thank you so much. Gonna have to show those photos of my first check-in photos with you.
Yeah, they're coming. They're coming.
It was like, it was just quads.
I have the post made. I'm just trying to get through all these comp results.
Love that. But yeah, I think it's just like, going from the cardio and the lifting to exclusively focus on strength training, and like I push my reps in reserve. There's never a there's never a doubt about that. But going to like exclusively lifting again 4 days a week, it's like I got newbie gains all over again.
Yeah.
It was insane. And I'm just so happy to be here. So
it's interesting, hey, because I have obviously a lot of girls come to me that train.
Yeah.
That then get newbie gains.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the combination of pushing the compound movements a long way.
Yeah, I think.
I think a lot of people train. So you were not doing the volume. So you weren't getting the intensity with the volume across the week because you still had running and all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
So it's like, we've got novel stimulus is more volume.
Correct.
Whereas I think for most people, I have girls come all the time. They're like, oh, I train 5 days a week. I'm like, you only train 4 now, but you train hard.
Yeah.
And you see like 3-4 years of lifting, and then in their first block, their body changes. You're like, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to come back. It's got to come down to the intensity, I think.
Yeah, I'm like a common theme, like the system that I use when it comes to my clients, a lot of them do come training 5 days a week. 5 days a week, 4 to 5 sets per exercise.
Yeah.
Up to, I don't even want to talk about some of, like, I had one girl have 10 exercises in one day.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, it's four to five sets, up to 10 exercises. That was on her upper body day. And then I gradually, like, work the exercises, max amount of sets, 4, depending on what it is. Because I don't want to scare people by dropping too volume much. Off too much.
Yeah.
Then what I'll do is I will turn the last set of most movements, and I know you do this as well because I overheard with Matt's, you turn like the last set into an AMRAP for a few things.
Yeah.
And then eventually in the next block when it progresses, I keep all the movements the same, but I drop off the AMRAP. Yeah. So now we're down to 2 or 3 sets, and I'm like, so you already know what weight and reps you did for the AMRAP, so let's apply that to these two and make these 2 sets hard. So you go from 5 days, 6 to 10 exercises, 4 to 5 sets, to 2 to 3 sets of 4 to 5 movements.
Yeah, I think
and the results speak for themselves. Like, one thing that I've noticed, if we talk about inflammation as a thing, like the way that the body responds to that change of, yeah, cool, like, let's make the most out of these sets, let's do this, you're so much less stressed overall. Your body's under so much less pressure. It's unnecessary work. Use that extra 35 minutes to go for a walk later in the day.
Yeah.
Rather than spend it in the gym lifting when it's just junk volume. Yeah. If you can't recover from it, you're not going to see any progress from it. So what are we going to do?
I think program length plays a role too. I think most people change their program too quick. Like a 4-week is kind of normal. I wish all of my clients would do 12-week blocks.
Yeah,
But I understand that you almost feel guilty as a coach.
Yeah, me not changing something on your program is actually a fantastic thing because it means you're changing.
You're doing well, yeah.
Like, you know, when you, like, I like to preface to people, I'm like, I'm not making any changes to your nutrition for the first few weeks other than food choices and food timing. And we're going to do these kind of things with the data that we collect over the first month together. But I'm not going to be sick. Like, I'm not throwing you into a deficit when I don't know what those calories are going to do for you yet. Like, let's see how you respond to food and let's make changes first, like just increasing your protein and all of these things. But with the programs, like, I will only change if someone's like, it's week 3, I'm really excited for my new program next week. I'm like, cool, I'm picking up the vibe that you're putting down. I'm going to change a couple exercises.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to change a couple.
Yeah.
Maybe get you on the Smith machine for your lunges instead of doing them anterior loaded when we're going to progress. But make only the smallest of changes with the exact same movement patterns. I'm like, cool. Now you're in a position where we can stay in this block for at least 6 weeks and continue to progress on X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
These are my expectations. And then I guess people get – you need the motivation to start and get excited by it.
Yeah.
And yes, sometimes it gets tedious doing the same program. I can understand that. I've been in that position before.
Yeah.
But hopefully by the time the motivation wears off, you're like, oh my God, hey, my ass is fatter, or hey, that's a line I didn't have on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And you see the results. So you're like, okay, I'm okay with doing this because it's giving me what I need.
Yeah. It's definitely a personality element to it as well.
Totally.
Like, I know I've had the same program. It's a 16-week block of the same. I think I changed at 8 weeks. I changed the order of a couple of exercises and then changed like the exercise I'd chosen for my biceps was annoying in the gym. So I changed it. Like that's literally, it's just the same all the way through. And I'm still getting progress. But I'm happy with that. I like walking in the gym, not having to even open my program and just knowing what needs to happen. I can remember what I did last week. I know what I need to get for progression. And like, that's just, especially at the moment with life being hectic, it's like the gym is just lock in, do the thing. But I understand other people that especially like come from group or like whether it's classes or CrossFit or whatever. But I'm used to changing it up every week.
I think the conversation of why you train is going to be the most important thing there as well. Like I know some people that are in that stage where they're like, hey, I don't really want to think, I just want to kind of like go and do it, but they come from the aspect of I don't want to have to think about progressing on last week, or I don't want to have to think about doing something like that, and I just kind of want to have fun with it. And but like, cool, I completely get that, understand that you come to be excited by the gym because that's something different and great. I get that. It's just understand that the results are going to be better for this. So if you're happy with the trade-off of that, I mean, but then there's the whole thing of like, well, but if you're more excited by your training in a 4-week program, you're going to try harder. So you probably get better results anyway.
Yeah.
It's so nuanced. There's so many different ways.
I saw a post the other day of like someone mocking mocking coaches that do 4-week programs. I'm like, you can't take it that far. I think
some of my clients do have 4-week programs. Yeah. Otherwise they will they're checking out.
They'll just stop doing it.
100%. Yeah. And it's personality related, and I'd rather keep someone in the gym and excited and do that.
Yeah.
Then I've got other clients that are like, do not change this program ever.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what week they're
on. It's the same with exercise selection too. Like my girls at the moment, this specific exercise, actually my favorite exercise in the gym, and she fucking hates it.
Mm.
But it's like, she really needs it. It's like a glaring, obvious weakness that we had at comp. She's like, did a different variation. It's like, is this okay? I'm like,
no.
Look, I know everything else in your program is negotiable. We can, like, you want to keep the hack squat extra time. You want to do this extra, like, it's all fine. But I need you to do this because it's going to be really beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got the first, like, oh, I have DOMS in my lats. I'm like,
thank you.
Let's continue.
This is why. Yeah. I think for me, if I could have, like, that last program that I had combined with this program that I have, like, if I could have RDLs, like, any bench, like, more dumbbell incline, actually. I tried Smith machine incline, like, in between comp preps, and yep. I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm about this.
I like this. I could put a 20 on each side, and I was like, I feel like a big fucking dog. But, yeah, if I could do an RDL, an incline press,
yep.
A pull-up,
mm-hmm.
A dip.
Mm-hmm.
Shallow specials.
Yeah.
A pull up, a dip, Bulgarian split squats.
Yep. That's it.
Dumbbell shoulder and lateral raises.
Yeah. So you could literally just have A, B day and just do that forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Like barbell RDLs.
I was actually talking about AB programming the other day. I used to do that. I used to do a heaps with my 3 times a week clients.
Yeah.
And especially ones that like traveled with work or they were hit and miss with their training. So they only had 2 sessions. Some weeks they train 4 times. Some weeks they train once, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's just alternate. You just work through.
Yeah.
Fuck, so effective, man. Because it's the same. It's like you get exposure to that workout enough to make progress.
Yeah.
Whereas if you gave them a 4-day, and like, oh, just cycle it through. It's like, well, it's been 12 days since you did it last time.
It would work so well. Like,
yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah, we're talking about it with group programming as well.
Yeah.
So like, because class selections, like you can go 2 days a week or 3 days a week. If we did AB workouts over like 3-week cycles,
yep.
Then you get decent exposure to
the same.
Yeah. And then you can schedule your week. Doesn't matter if you, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hashtag you strong. Talk about that on the next podcast.
Slay.
Now we have heaps of questions.
I was going to say.
Feel like we should jump into some.
You go first.
Well, update. I left my bag for the weekend in the car. I've just opened my phone to a message from my wife.
Love that for you.
I hope you're living in those clothes all weekend. It's a boys' trip. It's fine. Doesn't matter.
She'll be right.
We'll all stink anyway. okay.
All right, quick break in the episode, guys. Just wanted to talk about coaching. So we at STC Fit are committed to taking your body composition, training, performance, your health and well-being all to the next level. Our experienced team of coaches are ready to help you get the most out of yourself. You don't just have to be a powerlifter or a bodybuilder or an athlete. You just need to be somebody who knows that you have a lot of potential and want to reach it. And you can join the team by heading to the website, submitting a coaching inquiry form, and one of our coaches will get in touch with you. All right, let's get back to the episode.
I like this one. This is a good opener. Fuck, marry, kill.
Yep.
CrossFit event.
Mm-hmm.
Strongman event. MMA event.
I'd fuck strongman events. I would marry CrossFit events and I'd kill MMA events. Mm-hmm. Wait, to do yourself?
Yeah.
Or to watch?
You have to do it.
Yeah, I don't know fucking shit about MMA. Have you seen me?
I'm going to get dead. Say you got to train for it. So you got 6 months.
I would still marry CrossFit events. I'm so sorry. Maybe then I'd fuck MMA and then kill strongman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased because I've done a strongman CrossFit comp and I've never fought people.
Yeah.
I don't know. The idea of
I think I would marry CrossFit because I think that would be
the most beneficial.
The one that I'm happy to live with for the rest of my life.
Correct. That's, well, that was like
category A.
I would take CrossFit home to my mom.
Yeah. took the words out of my mouth. You've only been here a day and we're already on it. Perfect. Yeah. I'd take CrossFit home to meet my parents for sure. That's the one.
I would just say, can you please not butterfly clip it, keep in front of my mom. Chest to bar only, strict. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much.
Do they still do all the keto shit too?
Paleo.
Yeah.
Okay. Very paleo.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's changed a little bit.
I'll live with some paleo and then just eat chocolate at night. It's fine. Not tell anyone. Yeah, so I would happily live with CrossFit. I think if we had the facility where I am, I'd probably be doing it now.
Yeah.
Like, I've fallen really, like, crushing pretty hard on bro style training at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think had a good CrossFit environment been available to me, might have been a thing.
Yeah.
I would definitely fuck the MMA event.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I just want to see what this is like. I want to play around over there for a bit. So, perfect. It's category C, right? Looks amazing, but it's going to fuck your life up.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my brain's too important to me.
I don't know. I think, you know what? I've wanted an excuse to get a nose job for a really long time. All right.
Yeah. No, I'd like to have one crack at MMA. That's, yeah, category C for sure.
And strongman's like, take it or leave it.
And strongman, I've never, even watching it, I don't, maybe because I've never done it. Like, obviously, I understand that there's a lot of technical skill involved and all that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't, I don't gravitate towards it. I don't know why.
I coach it.
Yeah.
So there's that. No, like, I've had 3 clients that do it. I've co-coached with Aaron, the owner of Iron Rev.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll do the Saturday strongman stuff and then I program for everything else around that.
Mad.
So they only, like, so Zoya won, like, Vic Strongest Woman, only doing 1 day a week of strongman kind of. And then the rest was in a gym.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Mm.
It's fun. I've learned enough. I think the log press is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like the monster dumbbell.
I've never done it, so I'm like,
oh, it's pretty fun.
I look at it, I'm like, I get it.
It's fun. I hate the Atlas stones. I hate them. Yeah. I hate them. I hate them. Like, everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
But all the deadlift variations are slay because, like, you got people that can pull 120 and they're pulling 200 in a deadlift variation. I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to lift a car.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like, so take it or leave it.
Yeah, I feel like there's
not enough return for me. I'm not as satisfied.
It may be a really vain thing to say, but there's not enough. Like, CrossFit people are just stupidly good looking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's like, I'm down. Like, cool. I would watch CrossFit and be like, I want to fucking look like that and I want to move like that and I want to do that.
Yeah.
And look at Eddie Hall and be like, I want to look like that.
Yeah.
So I don't want
to
look like that.
Yeah. We're going to have a completely different conversation next week because this weekend I'm going to the bodybuilding. Mm. And I'm going to come back and I'll be like, I'm not doing nationals. I'm trying to be a figure out.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I get it. All right. That was good. Your question.
All right.
Yours are way, way different to mine, by the way.
Oh, it's I've got
a good balance.
I've got a good, very, I had some like fucking stupid ones too. That's like not even. First one, how do you train in tracksuit? I'm just going to address this one once and for all. Guys, I'm doing powerlifting. I'm resting 4 minutes between sets. It's cold. I train in a bra. But everyone was really shit with their trackie recommendations this week. I did ask for some tracksuit recommendations. Main ones were Musclemation.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Elite 11.
Yep.
And then there was Lululemon. And I was like, you bougie fuckers from Bayside.
Yeah. That shit's expensive.
I can't afford to get addicted to Lululemon. I can't live beyond my means, you know?
Yeah.
But
to be fair, I have 3 pair of Lululemon pants.
Mm.
And all 3 of them are in exactly the same condition as when I bought them.
Do you
like
know that if
5 years ago?
They've got a return policy. That's why they have to uphold it. So,
insane.
Like, if you, if the seams, it didn't count when I went from being skinny to being a powerlifter and my thighs fucking
ripped them.
I was like, I'm not going to take that back. I'll just buy a new pair.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I won't make it a powerlifting podcast.
My next question is powerlifting.
Cool, so I'll let you keep that. Okay. What? This is such a broad question, but I'll just go for this one. How do you be more confident in the gym? So this person, because I asked for a little bit more context as well. So I messaged her separately and I was like, in what aspect?
Mm.
And she said kind of everything. So she would never take her phone out to record.
Yeah.
her exercises, even though her coach, she's got another coach, her coach asked her to. She finds herself training in leggings and like a baggy t-shirt all the time. And she, yeah, so her confidence is coming from like that aspect.
Yep.
I think for me, I think the easiest way to be a little bit more confident is like one quote just takes me through my entire life and it is competence is confidence.
Yeah.
So if you can like understand something, you can become more confident with it. So knowing that it's training and you're in the gym and you want to be more confident in the gym, what are you doing in the gym? So are you confident in what your program is and how to execute those movements? Like that's where I would start first. Even though it's got nothing to do with what you physically look like or whatnot, that's where I would always go first. So are you walking in knowing I'm going to go to this machine and I'm going to do X and Y and Z? Just clears mental fog.
Mm.
You don't have to think about what you're doing. Second, I'm a huge fan of it. And anyone that has spent more than 5 minutes with me will know. I always do my hair. I'll put, like for me, I'm like a mascara girly. I don't really care about the rest of my face, but like I'll put a little bit of mascara on and I'll chuck some hoops on. If I feel like I look good, I feel better going into my workout. And like those are things that are important to me. Other people might not notice I have fucking different earrings in today, but like that's the stuff that's like important to me. So one side I would be like, cool, make sure I know exactly what I'm walking into to feel a little bit more confident with that and not have to stress, do I look like an idiot?
Yeah.
Am I executing this properly? And if you aren't confident with it, cool. Maybe sidebar it and speak to your coach or organize something. Or if you're really, really not confident, maybe organize a face-to-face PT.
Yeah.
If online coaching or following a template isn't really giving you that sense of confidence, then wear clothes that make you feel good, that you feel comfortable in, that fit you. I do not fit into a size small scrunch bum anymore. I don't do it. I can't. I have to go up a size. So like, you know, clothes are made to, you're not made to fit clothes. Clothes are made to fit you. So go up a size if you feel like the cut's not good. Go down a size if you're used to wearing baggy things all the time, but it needs to be more flattering. And just make yourself feel cute.
Yeah.
They would be my instant things that you can fix without even addressing what's going on in your head. That's the next one.
Yeah, I think the outfit thing is, it's a thing.
For sure.
Yeah. How you present will make a difference. I saw this thing like a guy started like just dressing well in life.
Yeah.
And just listed all the things that happened differently. It's like how he was treated at coffee shops, how he was treated at whatever. And I think it's the same in the gym. Like if you walk in like Nicki Minaj feeling myself kind of vibes.
Like, yes.
You probably carry that energy much more.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. So Amy's trained, my wife has trained for 10 years on and off. She probably averages once or twice a week over 10 years.
She's been in the gym for 10.
Has blocks where she goes a lot, has blocks where she doesn't. In and out of Pilates, PT, whatever. Since having LJ, so this week she went 3 times. It's the first time ever she's gone by herself.
That's so amazing.
So
that's huge.
Yeah, to add on to all the stuff you sort of said, like that the competency equals confidence, I think having whatever experience it is in your life that you can draw from, for Amy, it's childbirth, to be like, well, if I can do that, it's just the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like the first time when we did the big energy session, she's like, I really want to come to those. And I was like, who are you?
What
do you mean? So I think, where can you pull confidence from that you're competent in the rest of your life? Because for us, it's the gym.
Yeah, I think another easy one to do that with is we all have different friends that bring out different things in us.
Mm.
So like for me, my friend Crystal will bring out an energy in me. I'm like, I feel fucking sexy when I'm with you. Like it's like that energy. And then I've had it said to me a few times, like I've trained with a lot of my clients over the last couple of weeks. Notably Kimmy. I had actually never trained with her before. She's an online client, has been for like a year now. We trained in person together and she was just like training out in the main gym near me, you know, recording her lifts. She's pretty good with recording her lifts and whatnot, but like really pushing herself and whatnot. And yes, I'm her trainer, but Crystal's there as well. And she's like, just the energy of you two made me feel different. And then she came and trained at Muscle City, like a gym she's never been to before, and was recording herself and walking around confidently. And it's like, who you train with is going to make a difference as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, who you draw that energy from, they don't have to, like, I think it's safe, Crystal, I love you. Like, I think it's safe to say, like, I know more about training than she does. Like, I'm her coach and it's my career and whatnot. She's trained for a really long time. Yet she made me feel more confident in the gym because of her energy. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's going to teach you better technique or something like that. But it's like, Kirsty said that her and Amanda, see more of my clients, like they were taking belfies in the gym because they're like, you know, it's just an energy that like you've like helped bring out of us. So I think it's like putting yourself in those environments as uncomfortable as it might be as well.
Yeah.
Like going around people that train that way, like maybe building up the courage in the women's section of the gym because this was a female like that asked the question.
Yeah.
So like go into the women's section, set up your camera there, practice that. And then, yeah, I guess like favorite quote at the moment, it's not that deep. It's just the gym.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, no one gives a fuck about you in the gym.
Yeah.
In the most respectful way possible.
And the only people that will are even more insecure and feeling more of those feelings than you.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who will ever look twice. Yeah. The only other thing I would add is like, within, and I have a few clients like this that I actually spoke to one of my clients that energy session that we had. She's a little bit older than us, lost a ton of weight, and just like if you were going to say like Gen Pop client, that's her. Likes to train, but it's got like nothing to do with her passion for life.
Yeah.
She just likes, like, goes to the gym for how it makes her feel.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of bantering back and forth, and I was like, yeah, we were the people in the gym that you fucking hate.
Yeah.
And she's like, yep, but I love all of you individually, but just like
the
five of us running around with cameras and like girls in booty shorts and crops and stuff. And
taking ass photos in the gym, like
posing and shit. So where I was going with that is like, you don't have to be that either. And you don't have to determine that how you show up in the gym or how like the fit girl on Instagram shows up in the gym as being confident.
Correct.
You can still wear tights and a baggy top and feel confident. Like, you can be conservative. You can still, if that's your personality, you don't have to like rock up with the fucking matching set next time you train.
Exactly. Is that going to make you feel more or less confident?
Yeah. I've actually seen it go the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see it all the time. So Amy and I love people watching, right? And you'll see like someone, it's usually like younger guys too, but usually girls that like have seen either their click or it's on social media or something and they're like, this outfit's the shit. But it doesn't really fit outside of that community.
Yeah.
And they're like at a shopping center, like at High Point or something like that. And you're just like, you look so fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The way you've put this together. And I bet at home you were like, this is the fucking bomb. The Instagram picture probably went off and you're just like, but you feel.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, fuck, everyone's looking at me.
Well, like, one of the other questions I got asked was, like, how did you get so confident? And, like, all of these things are an accumulation. But I think to add even, like, outside the gym, but speaking about the outfit thing, I fucking stopped dressing to fashion a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think maybe that's just, like, a late 20s thing. Maybe it's, like, a finding myself thing. Maybe, like, whatever it is. But, like, I will wear a baggy t-shirt to the point where people are like, whose top's that? Because they think it's like a guy's t-shirt. I will wear baggy t-shirts with baggy jeans or baggy trackies with Crocs or New Balance. Like, I don't give a single fuck what is out or what is there. You won't catch me dead wearing matching bra and leggings sets.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Yeah. I don't wear the same colors. I don't wear, I have like three pairs of colored like leggings or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just, I think it's like finding what you feel most comfortable in.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah, for me, 9 times out of 10 outside of the gym, I'm in baggy clothes.
Yeah.
Like pretty permanently. So I think like when you find what feels good for you, what makes you feel hot or what makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like that's all that matters. Like, sure, try on the clothes, chase the trends. And if it fits you and suits you, great. And you feel great.
Yeah.
Then go for it. Yeah. But yeah, there's nothing worse. Like we've all done it. We've bought something because we saw someone and whatever and you wear it and you're like, I fucking hate every second.
Yeah. I actually did it with the late last year with the stringer thing. I was like, make stringers great again. And I was like, I would not wear that to the gym.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, fuck, like trying to like, oh, fuck, my nipples are hanging out or fucking whatever all the time. And I was like, no, just like face your insecurity and get comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And after like a month, I was like, fuck this. I'm just put a basketball singlet back on.
Yeah.
Feel good. Not have to worry about what I look like in the gym.
Yeah. And not just be self-conscious.
Do the fucking thing that I really enjoy and not have to think about how I look. So I think, there's a balance to that like own it kind of thing. It's like you don't have to. It's like, it's different if you're putting on the baggy top and like hiding and being like, fuck, I don't hope no one looks at me. I'm going to wear this big hoodie and sweat to death.
Yeah.
So no one looks at me. But if that's what you're comfortable in, just do it. Like you don't have to chase. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's good. And it wasn't just like, fuck what other people think answer. I like it.
No, because you obviously care enough to ask the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick break in the episode, guys. If you're looking for more information on how you can look, feel, and perform better, head over to our website, take advantage of all of the content that we have there, even the YouTube channel, there's plenty of videos and stuff on there. Also, rotating free resources that you guys can access completely free. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
So there was a bonus question on the previous one. Who would win? CrossFit, strongman, MMA.
In what?
So let's just say a generalized event, me, you, Jace, who wins each one? Right now, you win all three. Maybe not MMA.
I don't think I'd win MMA.
You definitely win CrossFit.
I got that dog in me, but not to fight people.
Yeah.
I got a competitive dog in me. I think I'd win strongman.
I think I would back myself. Based on skill. I think I'd back myself in the MMA because I do have some striking experience and I'm a bit fitter than Jace.
Mm. I will let you two battle that one out. Yeah. I'll sit there with the popcorn like you guys are just jelly fighting.
I think Jace would actually be an incredible strongman athlete if he implied himself to it. And he was actually pretty good at CrossFit too.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like right now I'm so powerlifter that I forget that I've done anything else. But I think in general, I know you guys have like a history in CrossFit. Nah, I still reckon I got you both on CrossFit and strongman.
100% you do.
I reckon I got you both.
Neither of us could do an Olympic lift. What are you talking about?
Fair. Thank you. I need like, this.
Today's workout, the snatch. Oh, we lost.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah. Okay. What were your struggles going into competitive powerlifting and how did you get through those struggles? So, yeah, are you going to get a return to or starting out?
Context of the person that asked, what would be more appropriate? Because I can go for both. I can go for either.
That's a new, he's a young kid.
Young kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, you're a young kid to me. You might not be. You're probably 24, but.
You're young. Sure.
I've just
I think for me, getting into competitive powerlifting, the things that I was, what was it again? Most nervous?
What did you struggle with getting into competing? And then how did you get through?
Yeah. So for me, I am a competitive person by nature. I don't like to do things for fun.
Yep.
And for me, it was not being able to, like, what if I looked like an idiot? What if I wasn't strong enough? Was that the biggest fear, that I would look like an idiot out there and my best.
Yeah, wasn't enough.
Yep. That was my biggest fear.
I did the same. Struggle. I didn't compete until I knew I'd be top 50%.
There you go.
I kept looking at meets and I'm like, if I'm not going to be at least mid-pack, I'm not ready. I'll just keep training.
I think What year did you get into powerlifting again? Or how many years ago was it?
Would have been, I think my first comp was 2017, like late 2017.
Okay, so we competed around the same time.
Yeah.
Very different.
It's different fits.
Very different sides of the- I was 21 when I got into powerlifting. Yeah. 21, competed 22, 23.
Yeah.
22. Yeah, for me it was going in. I was the first person that my coach had prepped to the platform as well. And just like I had so much blind trust because social media was really different then as well.
Yeah.
You didn't have results post on your Instagram. You had what you ate from lunch the day before.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a little bit different. And then even to touch on the last question, I was like petrified of what I'd look like in a soft suit.
Yeah. So that's a big one, hey.
The soft suit, which also came up in my question box.
Yeah.
The soft suit, like feeling like an idiot, both in my appearance and then like the strength. But then the only way to get over it is to go through it. Like I'm like a huge fan of telling my clients in the last 4 weeks, especially longer if they want to, but I find it just hypes them up too much. But like I want you to train your soft suit in the middle of your gym. I don't give a fuck what gym you train in.
Yeah.
Wear it because Sally over there looking at you training, it's going to think you're more of an idiot than in a powerlifting meet.
Yeah.
You've all got to wear it anyway.
Yeah.
And then as for not being like fearing looking like an idiot or not being the strongest, I think as long as you understand the rules.
Yeah.
Understand the calls, understand all of that and know that you're lifting to the standard. It's not about how strong you are. It's about how strong you are within the parameters of a competition on that day. That's all you can control.
Yeah.
You just, you know, your best is when you look back in a few years' time, you'll be like, that's really cute.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Your first comp shouldn't be your strongest comp.
Yeah.
Because you've done something wrong, if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, if it goes backwards from there, something bad
happens. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's like really just embracing the fact that it's going to be the best fun you ever have.
Yeah.
Your first comp, and you're going to remember so much of it. But you're only going to get stronger.
Yeah.
And you're only going to get more comfortable. But the, you know, walking out your first squat, feeling like your legs are going to buckle from underneath you and you're going to simultaneously shit yourself at the same time, that never goes away.
I tell my new guys every comp, I don't remember any of my opening squats.
No.
It's just black. Yeah. Just don't. No fucking idea.
I
heart rate zone got to point of repressed trauma.
Yeah. Trauma block my first squat. I tell all my clients, like I don't like to set them up for how they're going to feel.
Yeah.
But I say to them, you've just come off a deload. You're going to think that you absolutely cannot squat that weight.
Yeah.
Your legs are going to be probably shaking or numb to the point where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to stand up. And then you're going to do it. And just wait to hear the rat call. That's it.
Yeah, and you'll be fine.
And you'll be sweet. And then after that, you'll be like, I feel better. And then once squats are done, you'll be like, fuck yeah, I love competing.
Yeah. Yeah. So my entry was a little bit different. So we ran the liftoffs ourselves. So that was kind of like my entry into doing the testing. We were like, oh, we'll all test all the SCC coaches will test together.
Yep.
And then we're like, oh, fuck it, let's bring the clients next time. That was fun. And that's how the liftoff was kind of born.
Yeah.
And that was me not being in my own head strong enough to go to a meet. And if any of my clients said that now, I'd be like, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I'm going to slap you.
Yeah. So I had like a little bit of initiation in my own community, which was nice.
Yeah.
So do some testing is probably find some friends or a coach or whatever and do some testing just to find your feet.
Yep.
The hardest thing for me was access to information. It's so much better now. And one of the reasons I'm such a big supporter of APL is so easy to find out information.
You go on their thing, it says APL rule book. It's like the first page.
Yeah, it's like the websites. But even the rule book, I've had rule books before that I'm like, what does that even fucking
mean? Yeah, it's like jargon.
Yeah, like explaining the t-shirt and I'm like, I don't know what that.
Yeah.
Like I hope
can I wear
t-shirts.
A Kmart t-shirt is the question that
like,
everyone
fucking
asks.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the time, it was, I basically, yeah, got abused by Rob Wilkes, as like most people did. So, didn't end up competing in that federation. And then the GPC was like, you paid. There was no confirmation of entry. There was no what time to show up. There was no meters briefings this time. There was no how to weigh in. Like I didn't have a coach. So I wanted to do it myself to learn.
Yeah.
Because I had other lifters. I'd already done a couple of liftoffs and I was like, I think I've got it.
Yeah.
And I want to do this by myself, but I was training at a good life.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then I was probably 4 weeks out and a guy reached out to me and was like, have you done this? Have you done this? And my dude, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
And he was like, come to the gym, went out into his powerlifting gym. He walked me through a bunch of stuff. I'm like, okay, now help. He ended up not being there on the day. So that was another fucking like the person that I was like, I'm just going to go to you and you're going to help. I had another handler. I ended up being Ben Mack. And he was fucking incredible for the day.
Yeah.
So having a good person to handle you on your first day as well is huge.
I think any struggles can be resolved by like if you're going to do a powerlifting comp, I'm going to say it not because we both are, but get a powerlifting coach.
Yeah.
Not just to be like, your technique is good. Because I'm going to be honest, you probably know whether your lifts are to a comp standard or not.
Yeah.
You don't need us to say, that's depth.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe not, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
You might know how to squat, bench, and deadlift, and that's great.
Yeah.
It's cool. When do you finish your last warm-up?
Yeah.
When do you start your warm-up? Fuck, that person took my weight. Now I'm missing a warm-up. What, do I do that one or do I do that warm-up instead? Like, I think having someone experienced with you to bounce your struggles off is just going to help everything, because the only way you're always going to feel underprepared when you've never experienced something for the first time. Yeah. So being able to put your full trust in someone else.
Someone that's calm.
Whatever your struggles are. Yeah. That was my fuck up. My first coach was not calm.
Yeah.
And then I'm a different coach on comp day to what I am like.
Yeah.
You've actually watched me coach Kirsty on comp day as well. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you're exactly what that person needs you to be at that day. When they need the hype and the jumping, you're that. When they don't, you are soft and somber and gentle and whatever they need. I just had a coach that was like running around crazy. Like, I didn't know what she was doing. So I didn't know. And I'm like erratic at the best of times. And I was like, but you know.
Yeah. My default on comp day is just like, be the calmest person in the room.
Mm.
For most of the time.
Yeah.
And even when your lifter misses 4 lifts in a row, just stay calm. It's going to be okay because they need you to be calm. It's all going to be all right.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're not calm because you're shitting yourself, because like I'm a very different lifter now than I was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And it comes with maturity and understanding as well.
Yeah.
Let's go another question.
I just want to come back to that.
Yes.
I can't remember what I was going to say. No, that's all right. Move on. I can't remember. Go.
I actually had a question saying, how strong do you have to be to start powerlifting? I'm actually going to answer that based off like what we did then. The limit does not exist.
Yeah.
The minimum does not exist. One thing I will always, always, always say though, like if you do not feel confident, but you feel like it's something you should do, it's not necessarily a natural progression. Like you can enjoy squatting, benching, deadlifting and testing your one rep max in a gym.
Yeah.
You can enjoy that. If you are and you have all these struggles and you do all of that, do a novice comp.
Yeah.
Do a novice comp. Like,
do something
I have seen some fucking monsters. Like, I think Kirsty squatted 150 at a novice comp. Yeah. Like, that was her introduction. And I was like, they put her with the guys because they were like, you're too strong over here. Yeah.
We don't want to strip that weight.
Do a novice comp.
Yeah.
See if you enjoy it, because there's no, are you strong enough? How fast do you have to be to run a marathon?
Yeah.
You don't have to. That's a great point. Just have to finish it, you know?
Yeah. So I take that analogy. So like the running the marathon things, like when you can finish a marathon. And like my thing for powerlifting is like when you can fail and be safe.
Yeah.
That's my, so can you get buried in a squat and be okay?
Yeah.
Or
physically and psychologically.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold a bench press if it doesn't come up, let go of a deadlift bar. Like if you can do all those things, you're fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think Bulgarian split squat should be classified as self-harm? No, I think they're fantastic and you're an absolute sook.
Yeah. Find a way to love them. Doing Hatfields at the moment.
Yeah.
Reverse lunge Hatfields.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
All right. I've got the question. I know this person asked it to like evoke a certain answer as well.
Fishing.
Are barbell hip thrusts worth the hype?
Are they worth the hype? It's a pretty big hype. I don't program them a lot. Most of my girls have pretty decent dump trucks. So, no.
Yeah.
It's my short answer.
I think, yeah. I think...
Especially barbell, man. It's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I think, like, even if we just do a hip thrust movement, let's just go hip thrust.
Yep.
I don't know anybody that hip thrusts really heavy, really, really heavy, and doesn't do any other heavy leg movements.
Yeah.
With a great fat ass.
The ones that do don't have good legs.
No.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So I think the person that asked this asked because they know my answer and they just wanted me to talk about it.
Yeah.
Thank
you for adding valuable insights to the podcast so we don't have to think of topics.
Yeah, thank you so much. But, you know, ultimately, I think anybody that I've ever seen that's done like super heavy hip thrusts, like I don't program hip thrusts. So there's two things I specify when I program a hip extension movement.
Mm.
And every single time it's going to be like somewhere between 10 and 20 reps.
Yep.
Somewhere between there. And I said, you're not actually gaining more benefit by dropping all the way down to the bottom and then coming all the way back up.
Mm-hmm.
So like I keep people through an active half to two thirds of a range down, making sure you're locking out with your glute, not with your lower back and like all of those things. It's not going to be the one thing to rule them all that's if you don't have hip thrust in your program, you're missing out on glute gains.
Yeah.
Like.
I think one of the biggest problems with particularly the barbell is because it's a barbell and you can load the fuck out of it, put it on the floor and just like slam your hips up and make it look like a rep. People train it. So we talk about having a strength-centric mindset and a muscle-centric mindset when you approach an exercise, whether that's going to be determined by the exercise itself or the rep range. People approach a hip thrust like it's a strength movement, not like a muscle-centric movement, and it should be the other way around. You should approach that. How do I create the most amount of tension in my glutes?
Yep.
How do I move it through the greatest range of motion that I can maintain tension? So if that means stopping 3 inches short from the bottom, it means never fucking stopping 3 inches short of the top.
Yes.
No one likes 2 inches short in any thrusting.
Give her the extra inch.
Correct. Always.
Every time.
That's actually my blog title next week. So I think that is where most of the issues come in. Because it's like people post like their 3RM and their 5RM hip thrust. I'm like, it's not that.
Have you ever, and if someone's listening and they want to actually come forward, I would actually love to know you. Have you ever met somebody that heavy, heavy hip thrusts? I'm talking like I've, you know, there's a lot of 150 plus hip thrusts.
Yeah.
That doesn't do heavy compounds.
Mm.
So,
just uses that.
That just is only focused on growing their glutes and whatnot. I've never met somebody that heavy hip thrust that heavy that doesn't have an absolutely fucked lower back that they can like pick things up off the floor.
Yeah.
As in like they cannot deadlift from the floor. Their RDLs do aggravate their back.
Yeah.
It's chronic back pain.
Yeah.
And it's not a coincidence. It's a bar, something that heavy is not supposed to push on your hip in that position.
Yeah.
It is a hip test.
Like that and you're not supposed to have that much muscle mass there in isolation to everything else. So when you do other shit, you can't do it well.
No. And yeah, I think prioritize like have them in your program. They absolutely have a place. Yes, they result in hypertrophy. Like, yes. Probably not as much as you think.
Yeah.
If Brett Contreras hasn't funded the study, then you may find the results look a little bit different to what you think they are. But the number one exercise with the most amount of glute recruitment is a step up.
Yeah.
So, do a step up, do an RDL, do other unilateral lunges, split squats, all of those things. Make sure they're there. Then you can do your hip thrust, your 45 degree hip extensions, fantastic in. Also, probably not a movement that needs to be extra heavy, low reps, like depending on the thing. Yeah. But yeah, if you've got the rest of the stuff there, your glutes are going to grow. Make sure you train your back adequately. It's something you've spoken about a lot on the podcast recently, like back pain and great asses, fat asses, big asses, whatever. But yeah, making sure that you're training the rest of your body to support your glute training and not just going full ham on hip thrusts.
Yeah, and having no quads. Literally. To do anything else. Yeah. I would say the biggest predictor for me working with girls that are trying to grow their glutes.
Yeah.
Strength in their single leg lunge or split squat variations is the, and progress is the number one predictor for glute growth outcomes for me.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't mean, because obviously there's a genetic element, doesn't mean that like if someone can split squat 50 kilos versus someone that split squats 20 kilos that they're going to have bigger glutes, they're going to get progress. And if you can progress that lift without fail for the last fucking 8 years that I've been working with people that specifically want that, that's the number one thing that I can say. When that goes up, so does your mouse measurement.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah. I still program thrusts. Yeah. Like,
they're not the devil.
Yeah. Like, I'll almost never program a barbell. Maybe Smith, maybe machine.
Dumbbell single leg.
Yeah. And then I do, because I have so many people come to me that have the issues that we're talking about. I actually program so many body weight and single leg varieties just to, like, get into hip extension.
Yeah.
Because you just haven't, even when you've been doing those, you're still not getting into hip extension.
Wait until you feel your glute on.
yeah. And then it's like, once you actually learn to reach hip extension, you free up range of motion in the hip, and sometimes that helps with stability and stuff. Then all of a sudden, the other metric that's important, like I said, the single leg work, that's where they start to go up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see it as much from squats. I think squats are amazing and you should do them, but I don't, there's no correlation. There's not as solid correlation I've seen as like the barbell squat going up compared to Bulgarians and reverse lunges and stuff.
Yep. And I think most people cook too much of their energy trying to go heavy in those and then undershooting the rest of them, sandbagging the rest of the workout.
Yeah.
So I have one last question. We've got the time.
Yeah.
One last question. And this was a good one. I can't believe I didn't say it first. The way that it's phrased, it wasn't love you, but it wasn't worded very well. So I'm going to paraphrase the question.
I'm going to fix it.
Yeah. All right. Want to grow? I feel too fat to go into a bulk. What do I do?
Okay.
So this person, for context, she's full well understanding that to have the body that she wants, she needs more muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
Does she cut first? Does she bulk first? Does she maintain? Like, what does she do?
Yeah. It's hard to know without seeing them, because it's like, maybe you are, but you're probably not. Like 9 times out of 10, I'd say you're probably not.
Yeah, it's, I think it's like, it's really hard because you're like, let me look at you and determine, are you fat enough?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what kind of a question is that, right?
So it comes back to, I have this conversation with all my clients that want to put on weight.
Yep.
Usually, it's just trying to determine what is too big to, for lack of a better term, fat, for you to accept and deal with and be okay with.
Yep.
And then one of the ways I do it is like set a waist measurement restriction.
Yeah.
So it's like your waist is 65 centimeters right now. How much are you willing to allow that to go up? Like, what's your limit? And usually, like, because most people come to you wanting to get leaner to start with, usually you've got a benchmark of, well, I was 70 centimeters.
Yeah.
This is what I looked. Here's the photo of what I looked like there.
Yeah.
But you're going to look better because you're going to have more muscle. You're going to be in better shape. Like, it's going to be better than that.
Yeah.
But that's what your midsection looked like at that phase. Yeah. Are you okay to look like that again? If it means stronger, healthier, because the health's the other side of it.
Correct.
Stronger, healthier, perform better, and build muscle.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, cool, sweet. We're going to go until we hit that.
Yeah. I think it's, are you, like, there are a few things I would do before being like, cool, let's go into like a gaining phase. It would be, have you actually been able to maintain results in the past? Do you know what a day of eating at your maintenance calories looks like? Or do you only know a deficit plus more food?
Yeah.
Like a deficit, but I'm just going to add a little bit of this. And it's like, no, you kind of eat differently. And like, you know, it, whatever, all of those things. Like, are you able to maintain? Have you had the, I really care about my training in a cut and only then, and then I'm in a maintenance phase, but it's, I actually blew out, gained a bunch of weight, and I'm back to where I was. Let's do another cut or whatever. The other side is people knowing that, yeah, they need to gain muscle to look the way they want to, but yeah, obviously this person not feeling as comfortable. Yeah. I think the most practical advice I can give is give yourself like 4 weeks, because your body will not change drastically in a maintenance phase. It's not going to, it's going to change over time and it's going to look night and day different, but it's obviously a slow process that you will benefit more from if you're eating more food, you know, to see those changes. Can you go 4 weeks tracking your food, hitting your targets, executing your training, still keeping your output, not being like, oh, I'm in maintenance or going to a surplus, so now I don't care about steps.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't need to worry about, like, are you still health focused?
Yeah.
If you're able to, you know, show up for yourself, still, like, push your training, eat great. From there, let's maybe for the next 2 to 4 weeks, I don't know, like, it's going to be based on your results, how you're feeling, maybe go up by 100, 150 calories a day for the 200 calories a day for the next X amount of time, and give, I would probably go like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Give yourself that increase, you know, keep your protein the same, increase your carbs mainly, reassess there. You don't, if you've never done it before and you've never gone into a surplus on purpose and in the past weight gain has only been incidental, just due to overeating over time. That's how you find your range.
Yeah.
You track your body weight. I am a huge advocate, like working with a lot of people that are healing their relationship with their body and their food. More food is often the answer. It's pretty much almost always the answer.
Yeah.
But, you know, track your body weight every day, because you're going to find after that first 3 weeks, your body's going to start regulating its body weight. Get used to the extra food volume. Get used to digesting the food. Do all of that. Take the averages, compare the average, not single days.
Yeah.
And over time be like, cool, I gained 300 grams on average for this period of time. Am I happy with that? Am I happy with the photos? Am I happy with the measurements? Then you go again.
Yeah.
Don't cut it short. Don't just increase your food every 2 weeks because you think you need to.
Yeah.
Don't not increase your food because you're concerned that the weight, the scale's gone up. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just set, if you're really nervous and it's the first time, every 4 to 6 weeks, like to make those calls, make those changes and reflect if you don't have a coach. And
yeah, I couldn't agree with any of that more. I think the shameless plug, stcfit.com/blog. I put out like the volume, the values over outcomes post content like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think this is where that becomes important.
Yeah.
You mentioned like the people that like only show up to their training when they're in the cut.
Yeah.
And they only train when they have the comp coming up. They like that's a external focus, and that will burn when it's like, well, I'm going to go through a 6 month deliberate phase where I'm going to feel a little bit fluffy and my clothes are going to fit different. And watching particularly women go through the bulk phase is like, I remember getting exceptionally bigger and being like, fuck, I can't put my seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And girls feel that feeling and are like, I'm fat.
Yeah,
it's
I think
it's not. You just shaped different and things are harder to move and everything feels a little bit. But if you have a going to the gym is an expression of XYZ as my who I like my personality and what I get out of life and what I like in life, then that's okay. It's like, I'm just really curious to see how this works out versus I'm doing this because I need to look the best or I have this whatever, that'll fuck you up.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I, you know, you're like, yeah, women will often be like, yeah, I am women, so I can. I think I am, I waited until I could track consistently and did all of those things before increasing my food and sat in maintenance for however long, whatever. You know, there's nothing that I actually touched on it on an Instagram post, like trying on a size of clothing that you know how this clothes, like this usually fits. Like for me, it's like this particular pair of jeans I have. When I put them on and like I was hanging over the top a little bit more and that button was a little bit hard to tighten up. I'm not really triggered by things like rolls when I sit down or whatever. Like I'm totally desensitized to stuff like that. But, you know, those things or trying on a size like I'm like typically a size 10, size 8 to 10 in clothing. That's anywhere from a small to a large depending on where I shop. But like, you know, when I would try on my size 10s and like it's always my back. Yeah. Like my lats don't fit in it. And I will have a moment where I'm like, is this worth it? Like, is this what I want? I
was just about to mention the back.
Yeah. It's
the amount of girls, especially corporate girls, they're like, oh, my work clothes don't fit. Like I'm real, like getting really fat. I'm like, no. Like your bras are tight and your shirts are tight because
you're growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like those external things are going to, they are going to affect you, and because we've always been told like to, you know, smaller is better and shrink yourself down. And I started the gym to lose weight and I want to be skinny and all of those things. The things that changed for me, and like this is a food quality thing as well. So when I say eating more, I don't mean like eating calorie dense foods that are ultra processed, because you will notice your cycle, it hurts more. You will notice like all of these things. Oh, our time has gone off. I've got to shut up. But so you know, it's like making good quality food choices, but that's not what this is about, like right now. But that's the number one thing. First of all, eating more food that is good quality versus shit quality will make a difference in your body composition and it will look different.
Yeah.
But you'll do this thing where over time you're like, oh my god, like my period's really consistent. Shit, is it already week 4 of my cycle? Because you don't get as many of the symptoms because you're well fed and your endocrine system is doing really well. Then you'll be like, oh my god, I finally cracked the X dumbbell on my shoulder presses or lateral raises, that really hard one to go up in. And you're like, fuck, I like PB'd so many movements this week. I had a really good week of training. And then you'll be like, my sleep has been so good lately. And all these little coincidences and all these little things are not coincidences. It's you're eating enough to fuel your activity and your muscle mass and all of these like changes. Like you're finally eating enough. Like that's how we get to the surplus. People don't know, you increase your carbs because you require that for more energy to function and whatnot. But like all these little coincidences aren't coincidences anymore. You might want to have sex again. Like you, the tightness of your waistband matters a little bit less because you catch your ass in the mirror and you're like, that's like way perkier than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And all these like small things that start to happen and you're like, none of it's a coincidence. You've actually just needed more food. And you don't get that 3 o'clock slump anymore. You don't, all of these things that are so normal to people that chronically under eat. Yeah. You're less sore from your training. You're all of these things. And it's like, it's just so worth it. I recommend everyone do it if you can consistently commit to tracking your macros, because tracking a surplus is one of the most empowering things you can do. 100%.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, long-winded, maintain for a little bit. If you can maintain your training quality, like pushing that intensity, maintain good quality food in your surplus, maintain weighing yourself despite the fact that you know that it's going to go up, and still take your photos and whatnot. Do that for that 4 to 6 weeks, increase intermittently and repeat until you get to a point where you're like a pre-decided endpoint, or you get there and you're like, it's been a few months, because we know we can't build muscle in less than that. It's been a few months. I'm ready to do this, and then slowly peel it back, or if you want to go into a cut, go into a cut. But
yeah, my usual approach is like most people just need to feel fresh again, and they've usually like missed like their appetite starting to get a little bit. It's like really hard to eat my meals and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, cool, 1 to 2 week diet break. Diet break from the surplus back into just a tiny...
maintenance.
Yeah, either maintenance or just a tiny like 10% cut. And then it's just like everything's refreshed. Mobility comes back. I feel fresh again. I feel light on my feet again. It's like, and even like during that kind of couple of weeks, it's like increased cardio. And then come back, it's like, oh, I don't feel like... Is that, I think, like you were saying, the hardest part is when you start to feel blocky.
Yeah.
You start to feel slow and heavy. And even like as a guy where it's like perceived good to be bigger, when you start to get that feeling, it's like, fuck, this is hard work, man.
Yeah. I think keeping the output nice and high throughout that as well has always helped. Like programming 15 to 30 minutes on the bike a couple times a week, or programming 10K steps minimum every single day, and still making sure people are actively moving their body around in that aspect. Like, yeah, it's, you know, 15 to 30 minutes on the bike isn't going to be enough to put you into a deficit. Like, yeah, I think that helps people realize that they're more than just an eating machine that lifts. And then, yeah, making sure your food choices, like, yeah, you can't eat what you eat, like this high volume food, and then add more to it.
Yeah.
Like, still eat good quality cuts of meat and lean proteins. Don't just go instantly opting for fattier and now you only eat lamb and pork. Like, you know, do that, but enjoy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was good.
Good questions. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Go to the website, stcfit.com, if you want. I think, I don't even know what guide is out there at the moment. Sleep guide is available.
Sleep guide's available, and Jason's creating a winter is coming guide at the moment.
Maybe out now. I think he's nearly done. So 2 weeks time is probably released. Thank you, Jess, for taking up the big dog chair and nailing it. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button, share it with people. Subscribe is the most important one, makes a big difference to our reach, so please do that, and we will see you again with Jason, hopefully, next week.
Bye.